This episode is brought to you by CLA.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, February 13th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Later this month, the Supreme Court will hear arguments regarding President Biden's plan to cancel up to $20,000 in federal student loan debt for millions of borrowers, many of whom haven't had to make payments since the start of the pandemic. But the administration's plan could face a significant hurdle, and it has to do with the end of the COVID-19 National Emergency Declaration.
It's about addressing the harms that were incurred during the pandemic. So just because it's sunny after a hurricane doesn't mean that your house didn't lose its roof.
Wall Street Journal reporter Gabe Rubin has been following litigation surrounding student debt relief, and he'll join us to discuss the case after the break.
When it comes to planning for the future, taxes and wealth advisory tend to be viewed as two separate conversations, but some things are just better together. That's why at Clifton Larson Allen, they call it TWELF. Here's Clayton Bland, Chief Wealth Advisory Officer at CLA.
More often than not, all of the decision-making around the tax relationship are predicated on things that have happened in the past. An investment advisory relationship would be something that's looking at, hey, what are your future goals? How can we allocate capital to help you achieve those goals? So when we talk about 12, tax and wealth together, that's really what we provide at CLA with that combination of both professionals. It provides for the necessary information to make the decision that will have the best impact on you, both from a goal standpoint of my portfolio and also from a tax consequence standpoint of when I file my tax return.
Visit claconnect.com for more insights from Clifton Larson Allen. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Investment advisory services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Some student loan borrowers could see thousands of dollars in debt canceled under a Biden administration plan if the Supreme Court rules in favor of the White House. But the easing pandemic and the strong economy have brought the fate of that plan into question. Wall Street Journal reporter Gabe Rubin has been tracking the case that's headed to the Supreme Court, and he joins us to discuss. Hey, Gabe, thank you very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Gabe, catch us up here. What's the timeline for arguments regarding the forgiveness plan to be heard by the Supreme Court?
So the court is going to hear arguments on February 28th, and they are hearing challenges to the Biden administration's forgiveness plan that would cancel up to $20,000 in student debt for some borrowers. And the decision is likely to come sometime this summer when the court wraps up its term, likely in late June.
Now, we heard from the White House recently that the public health emergency declaration for COVID-19 will end in May. Why are some people saying that that could play a role in the loan forgiveness arguments?
Opponents of the plan, which includes essentially every House Republican in the new majority, they have taken aim at what they see as a disconnect between the administration's rosy depictions of this strong economy and the need for more pandemic-related aid when other programs have been discontinued. The administration counters that the emergency declaration really has no bearing on whether the program moves forward because it's about addressing the harms that were incurred during the pandemic. So just because it's sunny after a hurricane doesn't mean that your house didn't lose its roof. The critics of this plan say that the White House was simply looking for a legal justification to push through mass debt cancellation and that the pandemic national emergency serves as a helpful tool, but isn't the real reason why they're doing it.
And there's an executive action that goes back to the 9/11 terror attacks that's going to be a part of the case before the court also. How does that fit in here?
Yeah, so basically the HEROES Act was passed first in the aftermath of 9/11 and then updated a couple of times by Congress. And it allows the education secretary to modify federal student loan programs and cancel debt in periods of national emergencies, which of course we've been in during the pandemic period. So the White House argues that the powers granted by that law are unambiguous and that the education secretary clearly has the ability to cancel this debt during national emergency periods, and that the harms of the pandemic have really persisted, which gives the secretary reasoning for moving forward with canceling lots of people's debt.
All right, now let's talk about the personal finances of people holding these student loans. Why does the White House feel strongly that people won't be able to pay back all of their loans when and if repayments were to resume?
So the White House is looking at lots of economic data, including a very influential study from last year by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which found that when people restart their student loan payments after a pause, delinquency and default rates are likely to spike. And they found that by looking at people who have non-federal student loans who have had to continue paying during the pandemic, and they found that default rates are significantly higher, in some cases around 33% higher. So the White House says that those higher default rates justify their decision to cancel lots of debt to alleviate that burden on student loan borrowers.
Okay, but the White House, as you mentioned a moment ago, has been touting the rosy economy and how consumers have been benefiting from it. How would that affect their argument that people might not be able to resume their payments?
The White House is basically saying that current economic conditions are not really the relevant thing here. It's the harms that befell borrowers during the pandemic itself. So if you are more likely to default on your loans, that's all the pretext the White House needs in order to move forward with this legal justification. Of course, that argument might work in court, but it might not work in the court of public opinion, where people see that the unemployment rate is at a level not seen since 1969, and inflation has begun to cool.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Gabe Rubin. Gabe, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by CLA.